Well, happy Mother's Day. I mean, you can tell that's what it's all about, isn't it? And we're seeing so many people here today. And you know, when I think about Mother's Day, I realize that for some, it isn't a very happy day. For some, it's not. They didn't have either a good mother or, in some respects, the children hadn't met the needs of the mother as they were growing up. And so it makes it kind of difficult. But we know that you all are here today, and you're here to pay attention to your mothers, to honor your mothers, to show love to your mothers, to really pat them on the back for all they've done for you, to take them out to eat, give them a card, a present. I mean, all of those kinds of things. But we also realize that there are times, are there not, when we kind of miss those times, when we don't pay as much attention to our parents. I mean, we've got our own lives, and so we try to live our own lives, and thereby we kind of forget that. But as Herb was saying earlier, you know, there are a lot of us whose mothers are no longer with us. And I'll tell you, when I think about Mother's Day, in fact, in my study at home, I have a picture on a shelf of my mother, and I look at it often. And I realize how much I love her, how much she loved me, how much she did for me. She had 11 kids. I was the 10th. And, you know, by the time I came along, my father was ill. And my father died when I was 14, and my mother had to go to work and then try to take care of the house and teach us to do all things. And then I went to college. And the bad thing was that when I went to college, I guess in some respects it's bad. After about, I began preaching part-time on my sophomore year, and therefore I didn't go home for Mother's Day for the rest of the time of growing up. I mean, I'd get home on vacation time and once or twice a year, and I'd spend that time with my mother, and I would call her every week, and I would send her cards, but nothing like the opportunity to be with your mother. So what I'm in essence saying to you is you take advantage of the time that you have with your mothers and your fathers. You do that, because let me tell you, it is precious. It is so precious. Well, J.L. Caldwell wrote back in 1928, he said this about mothers. He said, "Well, may we pause to pay honor to her who, after Jesus Christ, is God's best gift to men, mother. It was she who shared her life with us when, as yet, our members were unformed. Into the valley of the shadow of death she walked, that we might have the light of life. In her arms was the garner of our food and the soft couch for our repose. There we nestled in the hour of pain. There was the playground of our infant glee. Those arms, those same arms, later became our refuge and stronghold. It was she who taught our baby feet to go and lifted us up over the rough places. Her blessed hands plied the needle by day and by night to make our clothes. She put the book or the books under our arm and started us off for school. But best of all, she taught our baby lips to lisp the name of Jesus and told us for the first time the wondrous story of a Savior's love." And Caldwell finished that by saying, "The pride of America is its mothers, is its mothers." Now again, I realize that in our group also are a bunch of grandmothers and great-grandmothers. And it's interesting, I read a little story about a little boy that had bright freckles all over his face. And so he went to the zoo one day with his grandmother, and they were standing in line waiting for the cat's paws or the tiger paws to be painted on their faces by a local artist, when suddenly a little girl turned around. You know how children are. She looked at the little boy and said, "Why, you've got so many freckles, there's no place to paint. Well, the little boy was embarrassed, and he hung his head. And the grandmother knelt down beside him, and she said, I love your freckles. When I was a little girl, I wanted freckles. I don't think anything is more beautiful than freckles. And the little boy's head lifted up, and he said, really? And she said, why, yes. You name me one thing prettier than freckles. And the little boy stood there for a moment, and he gazed into her face and her eyes. And suddenly he said, wrinkles. I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, is it not? And to that little boy, nothing was as beautiful as his grandmother's wrinkles. Well, today we want to look at beauty through the eyes of God and understanding that, you know, he looks at us very differently than the people of the world do. Isn't that correct? I mean, God doesn't look at us the way the world does. And I know that the passage of Scripture I'm going to use, and it's a rather lengthy one today, that you've heard it many times. In fact, it's been used so many times when it comes to, you know, Mother's Day. So kind of bear with me and either turn in your Bibles or watch on the screen as we look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. Now, I know none of you have female servants, right? But anyway, as we go on, she considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Hopefully that's the way you look at your mother. And for those of us whose mothers have gone on to be with the Lord, we feel that. We understand that. You know, we kind of reminisce about those times that our mother did so much for us. And likewise, it's so easy, is it not, to have life just continue on. And we get so full and involved in the things that are happening that we lose sight of that. So again, if your mother's alive, you make sure that you tell her how much you love her, how much you appreciate her. Well, in this passage of Scripture, we begin to get a good understanding in the New International Version. It's called A Noble Wife. In the King James, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? And of course, I think we can look around in our congregation and here today and see so many. And I think there are five qualities that are here. There are probably more, but let me just mention very quickly five. If you look at verses 11, 12, and 23, you'll see that she is trustworthy and devoted. I mean, she has her husband's confidence, and she enhances his reputation. Secondly, she's a woman of diligence and wisdom, and you see that in verses 13 through 19. I mean, she's not afraid to work, and she's a wise shopper, and she's a planner. And then thirdly, she's a giving person. Verse 20 says that she extends her hands to the poor. In other words, she has been able to plan and organize and be able to take care of the needs of the family, but she's also got the wherewithal and the ability to help those who are in need, those who are poor in her society. And then she is dependable. Verses 15, 21 through and 27 says, when adversity comes, when it's bad weather or whatever, she again has planned well and she is ready forever, you know, with what might come. And then lastly, she's a woman who loves the Lord. I mean, we see that reading all the verses in this text. I mean, she is one who is guided and directed by the Word of God and by the wisdom of God. Now, I think the ladies, sometimes we look at that, or you look at that, and you say, wow, you know, that takes a superhuman woman to do all that this lady does. We realize that life is demanding for a wife, for a mother, isn't it? Far more than it is for the man. The man's able to go to work, and the woman's still at home. You know, I'm not saying that women don't work, because we know that they do. But again, they've got the responsibility to take care of the family and the needs of the family. And we begin to understand that when we look at it, that few things are more important to society than godly mothers. Few things are more important. In fact, the Bible clearly teaches both implicitly and explicitly that the family is the foundation of society. You want to know why our society is breaking apart? Not only because God has been pulled out, but also because the family units have been destroyed, haven't they? I mean, when you look around, you begin to see that, and you begin to understand that this is what happens in a society that ignores or does away with the thoughts of family. Now, a father's responsibility is to make sure the way the family goes, but understand something, the mother is the glue. The mother is the glue that holds the family together. And so since moms are so important, I think we need to look maybe at a few problems that come her way. First of all, guys, we need to look at motherhood and femininity with respect. I mean, the Bible warns us over and over again that anti-Christian forces are going to constantly try to come in. They're going to try to make their way in with their values and their world ideas. And Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. And what it's saying to us, we as Christians can't allow that world to come in and shape ourselves into the mold of the world. And so motherhood is more than just having a career. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that mothers shouldn't have a career, because I know most of you have or have. What I'm saying is that it can't be more important than motherhood. And so you need to hold on to that. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I mean, that's Paul's instructions to Timothy. I mean, he's saying that perilous times are going to come in the last days when people will suddenly be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. And he tells us that boasting and pride and blasphemy are all sins of pride, and they come because one loves themselves. And disobedience to parents and unthankfulness also come from an exaggerated self-worth. And so it goes on, but this is the world, is it not, in which you and I live today? In fact, as we said earlier, it's getting worse. And so what do we do? What do we do in times like this? And especially, we understand that mothers, women, have the emotional makeup. The very nature of their creation is that they need love and affection and reassurance. So how do we do that? I mean, we can't do that, husbands, if we love ourselves more than we love our wives. Or we love money more than we love our wives. Again, Satan attacks the wife. He attacked the wife first, didn't he? Didn't that take place in the Garden of Gethsemane? And it affected the home. And he's still attacking. And so we need to be careful of allowing him to infiltrate. Again, the mother is sort of the keeper of the home, but the husband is the protector of the home. And we should not allow these sorts of things to infiltrate our homes. So how can we do this? Well, first of all, we need to study the Word of God, don't we? I mean, we need to take the Word of God and make it the armor that we put on. Isn't that what the Scripture teaches us? Thereby, we're able to ward off the darts of the evil one, to ward off Satan. And folks, we need to do that more and more. And we also need to make sure that our children are disciplined. I mean, nothing bothers me more, I guess, than a kid that disrespects his mother. You know, as I said, my mother had 11 kids. So by the time it got to me, she knew how to discipline. I mean, she had gone through all the learning processes. In fact, if my mother were alive today, she'd be in prison. You know? I mean, if you did something and you disrespected her, you talked back. I mean, believe it or not, I was a senior in high school and still had a curfew. Okay? As a senior in high school. But you did what she wanted you to do, not only because of her discipline, but you did it because she loved you. I mean, she worked hard for you. And you realize, and that's what children need to learn today, isn't it? I mean, they need to stop taking things for granted. They need to stop just thinking about themselves and realize how much it has taken for the mother and also the father to be able to meet their needs, to take care of them. Now, part of our problems today is psychologists. Okay? The fact that you don't discipline children today, you talk to them. Or, you know, you try to get them to cooperate. And what we're seeing today is children are run amok, aren't they? I mean, think about your homes. Would your parents ever allowed you to respond like that? I mean, allow the world to creep in and make things so difficult that it's destroyed the very fabric of our society? I mean, you've heard it said, as goes the home, so goes the church. Well, folks, as goes the church, so goes the world. And again, we failed our responsibility in that area. Christian marriage is a picture of Christ and His church. And it tells the husbands that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That we're to love in a sacrificial way, which means we go beyond, even if we have to give up stuff. What we want is not as important as what is necessary for the wife and the family. And we know that wives are so busy, have so many things going on, that the demands are so awesome. I mean, they can become basket cases because of all they have to do. A woman with a keen mind was looking at Whistler's portrait of his mother. And she said it's a remarkable painting of a very lovely lady. But there's too much peace and calm to be the likeness of a real mother. And so in the time left, I just want to look at the last two verses. This is the last two verses of this passage. Verses 30 and 31. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done. And let her works bring her praise at the city gates. That's what we as children. That's what we as husbands. That's how we're to treat our wives. We're to love them. We're to honor them. And I'm so thankful today that so many of you have come out to be with your mothers and your fathers and to show the love and the respect that you have for them. Because again, this is what God expects. And let me tell you, we have some of the greatest women here at this church. I mean, we have women who really love the Lord. I mean, they spend time at the feet of Jesus, drinking in from the Word of God. And that's why I feel that and know that you as children of them have grown up in a family that loves God. And you have honored her. And you have especially honored her by being here today. And let me tell you, this is a great day of joy for her. That you took the time, you took the effort, that you're showing the love that you have for her by being with her today. And may God bless you all because of this. And so happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we're thankful that we have so great a congregation of women who love you. And Father, we know the men honor them. They help them in times of need. That they share responsibilities. And we know, Father, here this morning, the children, the families that have come together to show that love and show that respect for the mother, the wife, and Father, for their relationship with you. And so we just pray here this morning that if someone needs to make a decision for Christ, that they'll make that decision because that's the most important thing. That determines whether they'll spend eternity with their parents, with their families. So Father, bless us and open our eyes and open the hearts of those that need them open and help them to make a decision today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got a decision to make, will you make it as we stand and sing?